Once the world's largest car maker, now officially bankrupt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. In New York City this morning, General Motors opened a new chapter in its epic history. That chapter, of course, Chapter 11, Bankruptcy Protection. It's the largest industrial bankruptcy in American history. Reporter Tamara Keith joins me live. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
So the Treasury Department is going to inject another $30 billion into General Motors. So despite the reluctance President Obama expressed, it looks like the government is going into the car business.
The government is, in fact, going through the car business. That $30 billion is designed to see the company through bankruptcy. It had already gotten $20 billion before. And when GM emerges from bankruptcy, the U.S. government will hold a 60% stake. So you really could call it Government Motors. The Treasury is going to be involved in selecting a new board of directors, but the administration insists that it will stay out of day-to-day operations and also says they want to get the heck out of the auto business as soon as they can, but that could be months or more than a year.
Basically, how is this giant bankruptcy going to work?
Well, GM heads into this bankruptcy, a big company with a lot of debt and an operating model that was designed for a time when we were buying a lot more cars here in America. What will emerge is a good GM. This is a leaner company, fewer factories, fewer dealerships, fewer employees. And the hope is that this leaner company will have a better chance of competing in this economic reality. In the meantime, during the bankruptcy, GM will continue to pay its employees, its suppliers, and it will honor all vehicle warranties.
On Sunday, a bankruptcy judge approved the sale of most of Chrysler's assets to Fiat. That means a relatively quick exit for Chrysler from court protection. What are we expecting for GM?
GM is expecting a quick exit, too, but GM is a much larger company. It's publicly traded. It has all of these different international operations. So it is a much more complicated surgery, as it were. And the Obama administration says it expects GM will emerge in 60 to 90 days.
Tamara Key, thank you very much.
Thank you.
One dealership that will survive in the GM family is Bill Wink Chevrolet in Dearborn, Michigan. Sales manager Marty Krepsky joins us. Marty, GM is about to be majority owned by the taxpayer. How do you feel about that?
The government has no business owning companies. We've seen what they can do with the railways and other things. So I don't think they want to own GM. I think they're helping out. And I think as soon as the right opportunity comes along, they're going to sell back to the private industry. And GM, I think, will again be eventually private held by stockholders and things like that.
Marty, the whole country and world has been watching this fall with amazement. What is the mood there like at your dealership today?
You can't focus on what you don't control. So our main objective is to just stay focused on what we do and to service our customers.
It's a very professional answer, Marty. I wonder if you would tell us what's behind that in your own mind. How are you personally doing with all of this?
I keep my eye on the ball. It would be very foolish on our part to be negative in any way, shape, or form. I think it's going to end up being a good thing for the GM and a good thing for us in the long run.
Marty Krepsky, sales manager at Bill Wink Chevrolet in Dearborn. Thank you.
Okay.
Yesterday, the German government agreed to loan GM's Opel unit $2 billion, so the majority owner will be the Canadian auto parts supplier Magna and a Russian-owned bank. European shares are up sharply this morning. A new report showed China's manufacturing sector expanding in May. Asian markets closed 1-4% higher. The U.S. government reports this morning frugal consumers trimmed spending again in April, although by less than expected. Personal savings rate zoomed to 5.7%, highest since the mid-90s.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
Pixar rules again. Its animated action comedy Up was number one at the box office this weekend. We take you now to a movie theater in Fremont, California, that for years has said, we don't need the biggest hits of Hollywood because we've got Bollywood. Reporter Karen Wise reports on the ups and downs of targeting an immigrant market.
Wish I could, but he may. Shiraz Jivani remembers the first time he saw a Bollywood movie on an American big screen. It was 1991, and large numbers of Indian engineers were moving to Silicon Valley. Many came under H-1B visas for high-skilled workers.
There were so many H-1s were coming in. They're a little homesick. They need a place which is a home away from home. And I said, the demographic makes sense.
So Jivani bought the theater and started targeting those tech workers. Soon, his Bollywood films had lines around the block. Business was so good, he eventually moved so he could expand to 8 screens. His theater serves chai tea and samosas, along with popcorn, and he's got a lock on the Bollywood market.
You don't really get to see Bollywood movies on our side of town, but you can always count on getting them here.
Sapna and her husband drove across the San Francisco Bay to catch a movie. She's originally from New Delhi, but she now lives near Palo Alto working for a large software company. The pair are munching on an Indian treat as they waited for a friend.
It's paan. It's a mouth freshener with like a betel leaf and like cardamom and rose syrup and stuff inside.
Customers like Sapna kept business rolling for more than a decade until the downturn began.
2008 was a pretty bad year. 2009 hasn't started out on a very good leg.
Jivani says business is down nearly 50%. The recession's making the theater face one specific challenge.
A lot of Indians, a lot of H-1s have gone back.
Jivani's trying to stay hopeful, and he's trying to diversify. Fremont's last mainstream theater closed in March, so now Jivani's talking with distributors about showing Hollywood films like Harry Potter this summer. After all, he regrets not playing one mainstream blockbuster last fall. Slumdog Millionaire. In Fremont, California, I'm Karen Wise for Marketplace.
And in that other movie town of Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. That's our report for this morning. Thank you for joining us and have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.